We've seen the story before.
Big news! The Athletic NBA show will now bring you even more content through the Athletic Audio Plus. Subscribe now for a free 30-day trial via Apple Podcasts to listen to bonus specials, exclusive interviews, Q&As, and more. And after your trial, it's only $1 a month for access to all Athletic Audio, plus bonus content across our entire network of shows. Check out the Athletic NBA show's latest bonus episode now, only on Apple Podcasts.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA show,
Monday through
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Booker the drive, gets inside, leans in, knocked away, and stolen by Holiday. Phoenix has to foul, and a pinnacle ball throws it down! And a foul! Giannis on the alley-oop!
Bruh. New York strip steak?
Ooh! This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writer.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. A light crew, but a great crew today. I got Jay King, I got Trevon Edwards, and we're doing a little free agency primer as this week all of the madness kicks off on, the 2nd, I think. Things can become official on the 6th. And one thing becoming official on the 6th, the Russell Westbrook to the Lakers trade. We're going to start off with that. That was the news of draft day this last Thursday as we found out that the Lakers weren't trading for Buddy Hield. Wizards swooped in and said, how would you like a Russell Westbrook? So it's, KCP, the 22nd pick. We've got Kyle Kuzma. We've got Montrezl Harrell. And then a couple of second round picks and Russell Westbrook heading to the Lakers. And so initially everyone's thought is, you know, Russ gets to go home. Where's the shooting going to be? You know, how is this? Is it good? Because you can always have two of these guys on the floor, and that's the reason to have this. And so I'm actually pretty positive on the trade. But Trey, I'm curious in this sense. It's been about, I'd say, 8 years since Russ was on a team where he really didn't think he was the guy, right? Maybe a little bit in Houston.
How old is he? How old is Russell? Because that's how long he's thought he's a man on his team.
He might be 32 now.
He thought he was a man. No, I would say because at UCLA, he probably didn't think he was a man.
Yeah, UCLA.
When he was playing just a few minutes a game his freshman year.
Maybe. But okay.
Ever since then, I would say.
All right. So that was what? So, all right. 14 years ago. It's 14 years ago since Russ hasn't felt like he's the guy. You can't feel like you're the guy with LeBron and AD on the team. So that begs the question, Trey, of how do you think Russ will adjust to this new role for him?
I think it'll start off as an adjustment, but you know, what we've experienced with the Nets of guys that haven't played with each other outside of All-Star games and things of that nature. It's a touchy territory because you don't want to step on toes. And obviously, LeBron is the alpha and will pretty much have most of the say so, but Russ also is a do what I want type of guy. I think that he'll try to fit in as much as possible, but he's also playing at home for the first time in his career since college. So those things can clash.
Yeah.
I can see happening. You know what I mean? Because, you know, obviously Russ is going to pack the house. Obviously the city of Los Angeles loves it, but I don't personally love the fit because again, he's a basketball player and he can make adjustments, but both of those players need the ball in their hand at most of the time of the game. So I'm interested to see how it plays out.
And then the lack of shooting and the lack of wings over there is just startling right now. They need to figure out something to space the floor for those guys. They need to figure out something to defend around those guys. They need a lot of work on this roster, and they have hardly any chips to get that stuff done.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a lot of like, you know, let's hope this guy takes a minimum deal because they don't have the flexibility to even do like a sign and trade is going to hard cap them. I don't think they'll have the mid-level exception. I guess it depends on where they are in the tax, but like that's going to be limited. They're not going to have the biannual exception, I don't believe. So it really is just going to be like, hey, do you guys want to chase a ring here? Don't do it in Brooklyn. Do it here in LA. Like this is the spot to do it. But I do wonder, like, in terms of the fit, one, I wrote this on The Athletic when I did the trade grades. The Lakers have been so bad offensively when LeBron is off the floor the last 2 years. And they thought they fixed it last year when they got Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell to be like those guys that helped boost that offense. And it was a disaster. It was the same disparity as the year before. LeBron leaves the floor. It doesn't matter who's on. Like, they become one of the worst offenses in the league. I do wonder, Jay, if this is going to be where that finally gets corrected, because you can stagger to keep like Russ and AD on the floor together. And if that's the case, I got to imagine that's going to be good enough to keep things afloat, to where even if the depth isn't there, the depth becomes like how you stagger your stars.
But here's the thing is, how often has Russell Westbrook, except when he was with KD, led a great offense?
Well, it doesn't, I don't know if it needs to be great. It just needs to not be one of the worst in the league, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's a fair question.
Maybe you can do that with both Russ and Anthony Davis together, because that is different than Russ and, you know, all the Athletic guys and Steven Adams that they had in Oklahoma City when he was there. Or even it's different than Russ and Bradley Beal. But I just have, like, the efficiency with Russ has never been there. And in this situation, I just have so many questions. Like, does he bring you enough of what you need to kind of make up for all the stuff that he doesn't bring?
Absolutely.
And that's always like a complicated question with Russ, I feel like, because he does so much.
I think the Lakers are getting the closest thing to Kobe Bryant in passion. And how hard he's going to play. I think the Lakers fans is going to love Russ no matter what. You know what I mean? Despite him, you know, obviously in an analytic-wise view of, you know, him not being a great shooter, especially him getting older. But how you guys mentioned him playing with Anthony Davis, I think that he's going to excel in that situation of being able to get him the ball. But then this is also the first time the Lakers have had a all-star point guard outside of Steve Nash back. Since Nick Van Exel and Magic Johnson. So the things that he'll be able to bring to the table is pace, you know, and definitely leadership.
Disrespect to Smush Parker, by the way.
Shout out to Smush Parker. No disrespect to him. You know what I mean? Yeah, he did his thing. But just overall, I think that he's going to leave it all on the floor. And I feel like it's only two cities that really appreciate that stuff. And, you know what I mean? It's LA and New York, you know what I mean? Where you play hard and no matter the results, you're going to get love for it. You know what I'm saying? And I think that he going to bleed purple and gold as long as he's in that uniform.
If he embraces the fact that he's not the best dude on the team or doesn't need the ball at all times, I wonder.
Oh, he is. Trust me.
Yeah, I mean, he's got.
Are you sure though?
He's got.
Yes,
to.
Yes.
Like, he doesn't because have a choice.
Everybody bows to Bron. Yeah. I don't care.
But here's the thing: he didn't bow to KD. He didn't bow to James Harden.
But he viewed KD as a contemporary, right? Like LeBron also, is older.
But also they grew together. They got better together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
LeBron is still
LeBron. LeBron made the finals by the time Russ came into the league, right?
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, think about this, Jay. You got brothers, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to treat your brother differently than you treat your brother. You can be like, that's just my brother. But I'm like, yo, your brother's a legend. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, yep.
So in that KD situation, it's like, I don't think he could really enjoy KD like he's supposed to enjoy KD. You know what I'm saying? Because he played with him so long. But if you have a guy like LeBron, you're like, oh, I always wanted to play with LeBron, when you already had your own LeBron. You feel me? So you're going to view it a little differently. And everybody still look at LeBron as LeBron. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's ranked top. This is the argument that I've been having with a few people. He's coming into, I seen some lists where he's going to be predicted as number four best player in the league. And I'm like, well, he's going to be 37 years old. He averaged, 25 points per game last season. I'm not saying that he's washed, but I do think that he's like going to fall in the top 10. And some people were like, no, he's LeBron. And that's how most guys think that way. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Until the crown's knocked off. But I'm just trying to think of like, well, shit, they was, you know, putting Kobe at 93. When does LeBron get that type of he's not going to get it? He's going to be number one for the rest of his career?
I mean, probably like he would have to have like the major injury, right? That's why Kobe got knocked down so much, because it was like he had the Achilles and it's like, all right, no one comes back from that really. Is it funny though to think like, oh, LeBron only averaged 25 last year, right? Like that's crazy.
I mean, no, all his numbers have always been kind of discredited or normal.
For sure. Well, because he also does that bullshit of he's like, yo, I'm not even a scorer. It's like, dude, you have the fifth highest scoring average in NBA history. You're a scorer, okay? Just because you like to pass doesn't mean you're not a scorer. Like you're mm-hmm. a scorer. You're one. And by the way, you're one of the best at it ever.
But you know why I think that he doesn't get that pat on the back is because it doesn't look pretty.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
He doesn't have aesthetic that like Kevin Durant has,
right?
Kobe had that, Carmelo had even,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Because when you look at how he get it, it's like it's dunks, it's a bully layup, it's the side, it's the Akron step. That's what I'm calling it.
The Akron step.
The Akron step. You know what I'm saying? But he's a scorer. No matter how he want to look at it, it's just not as pretty. It's stiff. It's explosive. It's through the chest. But he gonna get 25 to 30 points, and he's been doing it for so long that it just looks regular. And the same thing with the triple double. Regardless of how people say, oh, you know, they don't count, it's still a triple. You know how hard it is to get a triple double? Like, it's hard, man. I can't even get that on video game, bro.
Okay, but here's the other part about Russ. And going back to the question earlier about will he take a back seat, what does Russ look like when he's taking a back seat? So, like, how much of himself is he going to sacrifice if he takes a back seat? Like, how does he impact the team if he's taking a back seat? Because he's not going to shoot the three.
Right.
He's obviously going to get assists and rebounds and stuff. Or he's going to shoot the three, but he's not going to make them.
Yeah, because it's terrible.
Not in a consistent way.
So what does he look like if he is taking a back seat? And that's why I think this is going to take a lot of time for these guys to adjust to each other. Sort of like when LeBron and Dwayne Wade first played together. And Wade at that point was much better than Russell Westbrook is now.
For
I think.
Sure. But Jay, I think that's the answer though, right? Is like Dwayne Wade couldn't shoot threes. Like he was a better three-point shooter than Russ, but he couldn't shoot threes. But he made his presence known by using his athleticism to cut and to find the ball on the move. And I think Russ can do that. We haven't seen him do that a whole lot.
Well, he's been doing it early on. So he's going to have to go back and adapt to his UCLA play.
Yeah.
Take pride on defense again, passing lanes, cutting. You know what I mean? Because LeBron's going to find him all the time. And I think he's going to find LeBron. So I think they're able to coexist. I think when teams start to pack the paint, that's when it's going to get interesting if they don't fill this roster with shooters.
But then the other part of that is that Heat team had Ray Allen. That Heat team had Shane Battier. That Heat team had even Mario Chalmers who could space the court.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're going to have to sign some shooters, and I don't know. I mean, obviously, this is a gamble because you know you're hitting the luxury cap, and then also, are these players going to play a full season together? You know what I'm saying? Like, are these players, like, all this stuff matters. You can put it down, and that's why I think a lot of people didn't react to it with hate. You know what I'm saying? Like how they deal with James Harden going to the Nets, because it's kind of a realistic standpoint where you kind of have to be realistic and say, well, I don't love this because, and you got so many different options. It's going to be a honeymoon phase where they're going to win like 13 to 17 games in a row. And people are going to be like, we were wrong. But then it's going to be some games where they drop some games. And it's going to be like either J.R. Smith game one where LeBron's doing to me or, you know what I mean? Or we love Russ and say, you know, like we shouldn't have critiqued him the way it is. And I think that's the beauty of this.
Yeah, I think one way where it helps, because we know LeBron kind of wants to like run selectively or have it more grind out half court. With Russ, I think where you get the value for him is he can grab and go. Right. So I think what you do is like, Russ, you push the tempo. And then if there's nothing there, pull back. We've got LeBron to orchestrate things. And that's where I think you can find a good balance when everyone's got to be on the court. And then, like who they sign in free agency is going to be huge. And I don't even know, like, what's that going to look like?
Can they find a sign and trade for Dennis Schroeder?
Maybe
because that's always a long Dennis shot,
Schroeder.
Right?
Like, that's the thing I keep looking at. Like, why would you want Dennis Schroeder? he's not a bad player, but he's not a good player, right? Like, he is like a, like, if it was baseball, he'd be a quadruple A player, right? That made up league where you're not quite good enough to be in the majors, but you're also not a triple A player. You're not a minor leaguer. Like, that's what I feel like he is for value in wanting to play him on the court. Like, yeah, you can find value. OKC made it work really well with him at times, but I kind of felt like that was the outlier. Like, I just, yeah. I don't know. Like, I mean, maybe you can find a sign and trade, but even then, why are you helping out the Lakers here? What can they give up? They don't have a lot of picks to move. So, like, what's the benefit there? That you get Dennis Schroeder? Why?
And then the other piece of this, like, LeBron used to be the guy, right? Where everyone wanted to play with LeBron. Like, all the minimum guys, all the bargains, they right. wanted to chase a championship with LeBron. Does he have that anymore? Last year, we saw everyone went to Brooklyn. Everyone went to Brooklyn.
I think he does, but that the fact that Brooklyn is another possibility here. Because how many other teams existed in the past where it was like, oh, no, I'll consider that over trying to go.
Yeah, and then the Warriors, when they were them, they got like David West to
$12 million
exactly. or whatever it was.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I do think it's there, but I don't think it's a no-brainer like it was before because Brooklyn exists and you may have to do even less there. But what does success in the free agency look like? Is it like we got Bryn Forbes and Mo Harkless on minimum deals? Still could be valuable, right? But is that like, is that what they max out at? I don't know what that ends up looking like. Speaking of free agency, guys, Kyle Lowry. He seems to be the big name, I think.
Why?
That's a great question. That's a great question. Why, though?
Because he's going to swing a championship. Or he could swing a championship.
He might. He might. I don't know. If he goes to Philly.
Let's be honest here, bro. Let's be honest. I want to be honest for a second. Are we really treating Kyle Lowry like this is the Kevin Durant 2016 free agency?
Well, no. I don't think it's that far. But I think it's along the lines of.
He's holding up a lot of bread right now, though. If he don't get nothing done by tomorrow, it's a lot of people that can't move, and that's crazy to me.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, he is
for a 35-year-old that didn't play a full season. It's crazy to me.
Yeah, but he was also forced to live in Tampa Bay. Like, I don't think you can play a full season if you live in Tampa Bay. But I think it's more along the lines of who's going to trade for Jrue Holiday last year, right? I think it's that kind of value where it could swing something big. Dallas is very in the mix, right? They want to sign him and put him next to Luka, which I think would be phenomenal. Miami is trying to work out, space and flexibility to bring him in. We know Philly's going to be a player in this.
He's not going to pass that body fat test every week.
That's true. He's not like that. Telling you right now. That might be, he might get one talk with Pat Riley and just like, I'm good. I'm gonna keep my rotund nature and just do what I do. Philly has seemed to be the whole, the draw, him going back home, but that's also like a little complicated without a Ben Simmons trade. And maybe that ends up being a sign and trade if part of a Ben Simmons. I don't know. But I feel like, New Orleans is trying to position themselves. I like that idea, but I don't think it's the best idea for him. So I don't know. Does Dallas feel like the most likely?
Nah, I see Miami. And then I could see DeMar going there with him as a reunion. Ooh. But what needle does that really move? I'm not really getting hyped up off of it like that. I'm still looking at Kyle Lowry being a 35-year-old point guard about to make $90 million, 30 a year.
Well, if you had...
There's Chris Lowry. Paul and there's Lowry.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but like, is Chris
the
like,
one that made sense?
Is Chris Paul going to be
a Laker last deadline, or him being in Philly last season when the teams didn't pull those type of triggers?
Right.
Now, from scratch, I don't know. I don't love him on any team right now.
Well, so I'd love him in Philly. I would love him in Philly. Yeah, absolutely. Because if it gets Ben Simmons off the ball, yeah.
No, if Ben got to go though.
Probably, but they want to get rid of him anyway. The tricky part is finding a trade right now for Ben, because like Daryl Morey, as he should, at least right now, is wilding out in terms of what he's asking for.
Those are my favorite reports of this summer.
He asked the Cavs for Okoro, Garland, Sexton, three picks. He asked the Spurs for four firsts and two pick swaps. He asked the Warriors for Wiseman and Wiggins and the 7, the 14, and like two extra picks. Yeah.
For a guy who was getting benched in crunch time of playoffs at times.
I mean, that's crazy. But the thing is, like,
Ben Simmons
is going to be really good the next stop he goes to. He's really good in Philly. It's just he famously has this, like,
2-5.
Oh, that's right. You're right. My bad. 2-5.
I can't believe you said his name.
I forgot we were on Buds. We're going to have to, like, figure out, like, he's able to still be productive.
Absolutely. He uses his body well. He's an underrated defender.
Yeah.
But
I mean, really how they should use whatever team ends up getting him, he should be used like Draymond Green's used in Golden State. That's the best way to use him.
Absolutely. But I know him and Dre can't play together because they play the same.
No. I'm not saying put him in Golden State. I'm just saying whatever team gets him, use him like Draymond is
move
used
him
in,
to the four.
Golden State. Yes. You move him to the four, a lot of dribble handoffs, a lot of like, you know, a lot of him on the roll.
High post work.
High post work, him on the roll, trying to make plays for people, like get him moving towards the basket. That's what he needs to be.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like, because that's the funny thing is, like, the internet is scoffing at a lot of this stuff. And it's like, 2-5 is still a very good player. He just has this real big hangup that he needs to get rid of. And you can't prove that he got rid of it until you start the season, but they want to get rid of him before the season starts.
Yeah, like, if he was next to someone like Nikola Vucevic, you know, he could make sense. Because Vucevic, like, he's going to do a lot of his stuff out at the three.
Mm-hmm.
And then Simmons could be the roller and the Draymond type. But it's like Draymond succeeds because he's willing to buy into that, all of it.
And he's also a genius. Like,
yeah, and that's the thing. Like, and he's always moving. There's an intensity to the way Draymond plays, even on offense. How hard he cuts, how hard he rolls, how hard he does everything. It just brings a level of life to an offense. And Simmons doesn't always do that. And so if he could buy into that role, then yeah, he'd be awesome in it.
Right.
But we haven't seen that yet. But back to Kyle Lowry, I think he could really, he wouldn't do it in the way that Chris Paul did, but he can bring a level of toughness. He can bring a level of playmaking. He can bring a level of three-point shooting. And he can bring a level of maturity that could push a team over the top. When I think of Miami, it's like Bam, Jimmy, and Kyle. Those are three tough MFers right there.
Yeah.
And if you put them together, you could have an awesome defense. Your offense would be better.
Because he can shoot.
And then he might have an impact on the Duncan Robinsons and the Tyler Heroes and put them in better positions and raise a level of competition on a daily basis. So I just think and Dallas too. Like, Dallas's problem the last 2 years has been that Luka is their only creator, their only guy. So their offense could be awesome during the regular season, and it was. But when it comes to the playoffs, like, it's a lot harder to thrive like that. If you have Kyle Lowry and you have to guard Luka the way teams have to guard Luka, and then Kyle Lowry is your secondary creator, like, that's tough. And I just think he has a chance. He's not a number one guy for sure, but he's a perfect number three.
Right.
Or number two, I guess, in Dallas's case. They still wouldn't have... You know, they're
still stuck with Chris Stapps.
Hopefully he'll play better this season. But
or elsewhere.
But yeah. I just think Kyle Lowry in a couple places can make a huge difference. And then who knows? Like, he could go to New Orleans and bring a level of maturity that Zion doesn't change New Orleans into a contender at all. But if he impacts Zion and shows Zion the way, then that could be super helpful long term. So I like Lowry in a lot of places. I'm a huge Lowry guy. I love the way he plays. I love the way he competes. I love the way he doesn't care about anything except winning.
So Trey brought up something interesting of like, all right, let's say Kyle goes to Miami and then DeMar tries to join him, right? The DeMar DeRozan part of this free agency is fascinating to me because he could go make a lot of money in a bunch of places, but it sort of sounds like he may be willing to take a big discount to go to a winning spot.
Who?
DeRozan.
It's not happening. I can tell you that now. That's cap.
I'm not saying take a minimum or take like a mid-level. We're still talking like 18 to 20, 25 million a year, but I don't think he's pushing for like the Kyle Lowry, like three for 90.
Hey man, I'm going to tell you right now, all that Lakers shit is cap.
Oh no, the Lakers, that's not even possible. That's not possible. But there are a bunch of places he can go where he can still make a bunch of money, but maybe take under value if he wants to win.
Hey, my guy lives in California, bro. Them taxes don't pay himself. I don't think him or any other player in this generation is taking a pay cut because they got priors long term. So be looking for that bag if you trying to get DeMar or any of those dudes, man. I just don't see it. Somebody gonna pay, but I just don't see him just taking anything less that he can possibly get.
No, but what is the value of him here? Right? Like
I still think he can get from 80 to 100.
Over four, like that's 20 million a year, right? Like that's what I'm talking about. Like that, like somewhere in that range.
Okay.
Yeah. The idea that he's going to take this massive cut to go be on the Lakers with other, that's not happening.
Yeah. You
probably need to work a sign and trade for him, but he could take, you know, somewhere in that 80 to 100 range. And end up on the Knicks, right? Or absolutely. End up on like a team where he can really help them get to a next level.
Yeah. I just think that everybody's so stacked up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's no like knock to his game. But I just think that everybody's so guard heavy and wing heavy to a point where it's slim pickings on options.
Yeah. I think with him, though, with DeRozan, like he proved the last 2 years in San Antonio, like you can play him big, right?
Oh, he can play 1-4.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's where his value is of like, is he's so efficient. He's shown himself to be an incredible playmaker, which I don't think was totally there the first few years.
That was probably his most underrated skill.
Yeah.
I feel.
And then he's guarding 1-4 most nights, like extremely well. Like that's where I think
and low maintenance.
Yeah, and super low maintenance. Yeah, exactly.
Low maintenance, one of the most respected guys in the locker room.
Right.
So
yeah. But his like where he ends up is gonna be fascinating to me. I don't think it's gonna happen, but if there was a sign and trade that put him on the Clippers so that he could be like kind of that secondary star until Kawhi gets back, I guess probably a year from now.
That would
be the greatest situation in terms of.
I never even thought about the Clippers.
I like that idea.
Yeah,
is there a way they could do it?
I mean, you could do a sign and trade. It's just, do you want any of the Clippers players they'd send out?
Kennard.
Yeah, like Kennard or like a Marcus Morris or something like that. And then on top of that, like, do they don't really have picks to send, right? So that's what makes it super tough.
I like that idea though.
Yeah, like that probably means you're sending off like Terrence Mann.
And then he could carry the offense, help carry the offense while Kawhi's out.
He can play a little point, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, he becomes the lead distributor that Ty Lue wants, right?
Yeah.
But, I that's just an idea. That's not a rumor. I just, like, I've thought of that. Like, man, if they could figure that out, that would be a perfect situation to me.
I've never considered the Clippers. It's interesting.
Yeah. All right, let's play a game, a little quick game before we leave that I like to call Match or Dispatch. Jade, hit me with some game show music. This is the game in which we look at restricted free agents around this summer and try to figure out if their incumbent team should try to match an offer sheet or dispatch them to a new team. So we will start off with the New Orleans Pelicans and Lonzo Ball. Now, obviously, some of this will be determined by if they can grab a main point guard in free agency, whether that's a Kyle Lowry or a Mike Conley Jr. or whomever. But I also don't know that they love the idea of keeping Lonzo Ball around. For whatever reason, they haven't seemed to be in love with him. And I think he's really good. So if there is an offer sheet that is significant for Lonzo Ball, Jay, do the Pelicans match or dispatch?
I think they will dispatch, but I think they should match. There's just been so much smoke about how they don't want to pay him.
Right.
They haven't really bought into him. And I don't really get it. To me, he's a really good fit next to Zion Williamson.
Yeah.
To me, I would want a guard who's like 6'6", can defend, has become a good shooter, likes to get out in transition, and can be very, very good in a distributing role.
Is
in
elite
that sense.
At pushing full court, right? At getting the ball up the floor where Zion is probably going to be.
Unless there's something they know that just isn't public knowledge, I just don't understand why they seem to be so out on Lonzo. I don't get it, but it seems like there's been a lot of smoke around that dating back like what, a year and a half. It's been a while. That
yeah.
It seems they haven't been fully committed to him.
Yeah, it looked like they were going to try to move him at the deadline. You know, I believe Chicago is super interested in him. Trey, if you're the Pelicans, do you think they match or dispatch?
I see a dispatch. They're not going to pay him $80 million. Chicago might have a bag for him. I know they've been flirting with him and to land him. I would honestly like him there or like him in another situation where he can play. He's getting better. He's shooting better. His defense has been there. I think that I would like to see him in New Orleans, but I think they're going to either try to sign somebody or, you know, they got Kira Lewis and, guys like that.
Well, speaking of Chicago, our next one up on Match or Dispatch, Lauri Markkanen, who they also tried to get rid of before the deadline. Trey, do the Bulls match or dispatch Lauri Markkanen?
Dispatch, and let me help you pack his bags for him. Sheesh.
It has not been great recently.
No, it hasn't, man. You know, he can go, honestly. Send him to Denver or something like that.
Also, he does not fit with Vooch at all.
Yeah, that's my thing. Like, I can forgive him for having a bad year under Jim Boylan, who I don't think was a good coach for many guys on that roster.
Yeah.
I can forgive him for not being a great defender. Like, that dude can really shoot. And he's a big dude who can really shoot. And I think that there's a lot of value to that in the right situation. But next to Vucevic and next to Zach LaVine, it just can't work. It cannot work. It is just, like, how are you going to defend with those two guys as your big guys? You're not.
You can't.
You're not. Your offense could be fun, but it just doesn't work defensively. And so I think he can be a helpful piece somewhere that needs a stretch big, that could use a little more shooting. But yeah, that's the wrong fit. And I think Chicago rightfully will decline to match. But I also think, like, he could be good somewhere else.
Yeah, granted, it was a small sample size because they only played 14 games before the All-Star break. But he averaged 19 a game before the All-Star break on 65% true shooting. That's phenomenal. Post All-Star break, with a lot of Vucevic in the mix, 11.5 points per game, and he dropped about 5 percentage points in terms of his true shooting percentage. Like, he just fell off a cliff. He became such a non-priority for them. And he played a bunch, too. Like, played, like, 24 minutes a game, played 37 games. They started him a bunch, but that's just, man, that's not a fit anymore.
But he's a legit 7-footer who shot 40% from three last year on high volume.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. He can really shoot the ball.
And it's not just standstill stuff. Like, he can pick and pop a little bit. Like, I like Lauri Markkanen more than the average guy. And I just think he's been underutilized for a lot of his career.
If he gets less than Davis Bertans, which I think he will, I would be pissed if I was Lauri Markkanen.
But Bertans is an elite, elite, elite shooter. Markkanen is just that weird, like, very good shooter who's not quite elite.
I mean, Bertans wasn't that elite this year after he got that bag.
That's facts. Yeah, that is factual.
You know, he was actually worse percentage wise than Lauri Markkanen.
Bertans.
Yeah. All right, next one on the board. Gary Trent Jr. in Toronto. He might have a huge payday coming. Jay, Match or dispatch if you're Toronto with Gary Trent Jr.?
I think you put yourself in a position where you kind of have to match.
Yeah.
And I think they will match. I just think, and I think he's a pretty good fit for them because they have OG, they have Pascal Siakam, they have guys with a lot of length around
Scotty
him.
Barnes.
I love Gary Trent's game. If he were like 3 inches taller, he'd be a perfect piece anywhere. And I still think his combination of competitiveness and 3-point shooting can be useful anywhere.
Yeah. If he were 3 inches taller, he'd be getting $100 million this summer.
Oh, he'd be the perfect 3-and-D.
Yeah.
And a little more guy.
Right.
But yeah, I'm a huge Gary Trent Jr. fan. I think that was a weird trade with the Norm Powell thing. Because yeah, I just felt like really Gary Trent was a good fit next to Dame.
Yeah, they went all in with offense on that. Trey, match or dispatch if you're Toronto with Gary Trent Jr.?
Dispatch.
Ooh. Ooh.
Wow. He wants to get paid, but like I like, you know, let the kid from Seattle rock, Malcolm. Who did they draft?
They drafted Scotty Barnes.
Scotty Barnes is a one. Let Scotty Barnes rock at the one. Yeah,
don't do
he
that.
Gotta go.
Not yet.
He a point forward, bro. I'm cool.
Yeah, but
let him
not
rock.
In the NBA. Not
I'm
yet.
Letting Scotty Barnes
Maybe
rock,
one day.
Bro. I'm letting Scotty Barnes rock. I'm throwing him in the fire like J.K.
So you're throwing Fred VanVleet at the two, Scotty yeah. Barnes at the one, OG and yeah. Pascal at the forwards, and then what, Boucher
Pascal
at the five?
He out of there. I'm trading him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I would probably trade Pascal too.
Yeah, it's cool.
I'd but see no, what I,
ain't
can
pay, I ain't paying. I ain't paying. I ain't paying Trent Jr. what he want because he want a bag.
So what's the maximum you give him? Like if he got like 60 over 4 years, is that something you'd be willing to do or is that too much?
He worth it. I can't say that he not worth yeah. it, but if I'm Toronto, no. If I just drafted Scotty Barnes, no. I want him the primary ball hand. I know what he can do.
Yeah. But you have OG who can shoot
in
a little
2003
now.
LeBron, how what's the name? Let him rock. At the point,
hold on. You're talking about Giannis. You're talking about LeBron. This is Scottie Barnes, man.
I'm not comparing them to them players. I'm just saying, giving them the opportunity to like grow.
Yeah, like, that's fair.
You're that's trading fair. Kyle Lowry, bro. It's not no cornerstone pieces there to be like, oh, we're gonna win a championship. Let him rock.
Okay. The other side of that, Siakam isn't really a floor spacer. OG can shoot a little now, but isn't really a floor spacer.
Not a high volume guy.
Gary Trent is a shooter. Like
that's
you have to respect him, and that can help.
Cool,
that can help another non-shooter like Scotty Barnes.
Jay, I guess Jay, you just paid Fred VanVleet. You gonna throw out another bag to a little guard that can't defend like that? I mean, he can't defend, but like he not. Come on, I'm not paying that much for another guard, a little guard.
I guess it depends on like
how much did VanVleet get? 80?
80 over four, something like that. 84 over four.
And Trent Jr. gonna get that too.
I mean, if he's getting that, I'm not giving him 20 a year for
bro,
sure.
Bro, he gonna get it.
That's
wild. He gonna get it.
That's wild.
And that's wildest. And that's why I'm saying no. Yeah. I just trust on Malachi Flynn, Scotty. You know what I'm saying? And go get somebody like campaign just to even be there, just security, in case somebody get hurt.
And to your point, the Raptors developmental staff has done a great job over the year of finding hidden gems.
Yeah.
And developing guys
Boucher,
like
Terrence Davis, like
OG
yeah.
Boucher. Yeah,
exactly.
Like there are a lot of guys that have gone there. Siakam's probably the prime example.
Right.
Who haven't been much. And they've so, yeah, if you'd rather get a cheaper guy and you trust that you'll be able to develop somebody. But I just feel like they traded for Trent.
I just think they playing for vibes right now, though, Jay. That's all. You feel me? Like
this is the problem with having Drake as your basketball ambassador. Like you can't.
Playing
everything's
vibes.
About vibes.
Like they're not playing for any meaningful. If Kyle is actually out of the uniform tomorrow,
yeah,
pack it up. Just give Scotty the keys.
Yeah, I think with me, like, so if Toronto is trying to be good next year, I think you got to match. But I wouldn't feel comfortable matching anything over 60 over four, right? Like to me, that's the max you can give a player like that. And maybe he will get more, but man, that just seems like so much money to me. So much money. All right, what about Bruce Brown in Brooklyn? Trey, match or dispatch?
I love what Bruce was for that team.
He was so good for them. Oh, my God.
But he's going to be expensive.
But it's all funny money with them at this point anyway, right? Like they between KD, Harden, Kyrie, and Joe Harris, like they're already in the tax. Like to me, it's just like, yeah, you may as well just keep adding on to it. You got a billionaire.
Like, I'm sure. But I'm seeing like them go get Rudy Gay or something like that. I see them going to get like Bryn Forbes. I see them getting guys like, you know, especially if you can do the sign and trade with Spencer Dinwiddie.
Yeah.
Or somebody, you know what I'm saying? That give them a little bit more breathing room than this other stuff. But it's hard to, I felt like Bruce Brown's presence on that team was so felt, and it's only right to bring him back.
I would match for him for sure. Cause I think he's such a Swiss Army knife for them, can do so many different things, and they need that type of dude.
I wonder what the market will be for him, because I don't think he could play that role almost anywhere else.
It would have to be a place that's got a bunch of stars for sure.
Yeah, he thrives. Thrives next to stars when they can be the shooters and he can just thrive in the cracks.
I think he goes back to being a guard though, Jay.
Maybe, but is he good as a guard?
Yeah, you know? He was solid for Detroit as a guard. Brooklyn was the first time they used him like that, because he just didn't have no place to put him. Once they lost Spencer, like, you know, it was kind of eat with your hands type situation and get the scraps off the table, because that's who you're playing with. But, yeah, he can play point. He's not a sexy point guard, but he can play the one.
Right.
You know, he's a guard. He was a guard. It's just that they was using him like a 24-hour fitness big man. So here's what it is.
Jay, I'm assuming you're matching.
Yeah, because I don't think the price is going to be huge. There's probably a certain number that I wouldn't do it.
Yeah,
but I just think he's really valuable to them because he plays defense. He does all the dirty stuff. He can play as a big man, and like, let's be honest, Blake Griffin. Who knows where he'll go? Is he going to end up back in Brooklyn?
He's got to resign. I think he's resigning for cheap.
And he's obviously a big piece of what they did, what they were. And I just think there are a lot of question marks about what they do in that front court around Kyrie, KD, and James Harden. And to me, I wouldn't want to lose a depth piece on a team that's very thin.
With their lack of wings and just lack of players on this team at this point, for the Lakers and Talen Horton-Tucker, it's an obvious match, right? You have to.
He out of there. Sign and trade him.
Ooh.
You got to sign and trade him because, for one, he's given what he's given, but, like, I'm not giving up on him, but I'll let him rock somewhere else. Just because they in win now mode and they need more help. I would use that for all shooters.
Yeah.
He's streaky. Like he can do all around stuff, but it's not consistent enough. You know?
He's been a bad shooter this whole time.
Just go sign and trade him for a good shooter.
Ooh, interesting.
You cannot let him go for nothing.
Oh, absolutely not. Oh, right. So that's what I said, a sign and trade.
Yeah, if he doesn't play along with that, then you have to match.
Yeah, because they just have no one.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Marc Gasol's the best shooter. Like, they can't. I mean, they'll re-sign Caruso to whatever he wants. He's going to get paid because he has all the leverage with the Lakers.
Those Lakers guys are lucky, man.
Oh my God, yeah! All those free agents for the Lakers, man. You can cash out here.
These guys need me far more than they should need me.
Two more: John Collins in Atlanta. John Collins, match or dispatch? And the issue with the Collins Hawks future has mostly been he wants a max deal, and they don't want to give him a max deal. But they might have no choice now, Jay.
Yeah. This is another weird one. He's like Alonzo situation, where they have put out vibes for so long that they don't really believe in him, and then he just keeps playing well. He keeps improving. This past year, they used him differently.
Them getting into the conference finals fucked this whole thing up for them with his contract.
Yeah, but
if they got knocked out by the Knicks in the first round, like, I think it's so palatable to if he decides to walk and you're like, we can't match this big deal that he got elsewhere and all this stuff. Like, but the fact that they got to the conference finals, you have to keep that together.
It kind of reminds me of the Raptors situation when Ujiri first got there and he was going to tear down everything. And then what, he trade Rudy Gay, and then all of a sudden they got good.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, let's pivot. Like, we can pivot into building around these guys. We're going to be good. And I think Atlanta is obviously a little different because they went out and got veterans and they wanted to win last year. But, like, they did not consider John Collins, from all the reports, of a substantial part of their future. They were interested in moving on. Well, he's good, and he fits.
Yeah.
And he can be a part of a winner, and he's proven that he can evolve and be more of a perimeter guy. He's proven that he can play alongside Clint Capella, who's a starting center. Like, I just think he's played his way into a big contract with them, even though they were reluctant the whole time.
Would you match a max offer sheet? If someone tries to go super aggressive and take him away with a max offer sheet.
Yeah, probably, because max for young guys.
Off that, like, first one, yeah, there's no, like, kickers or anything like that. There's no super max. Like, yeah.
It's not the same as, like, 40-plus million for Russell Westbrook,
right,
you know?
Right.
It's totally different, where it's not going to absolutely kill you. And normally you're getting the best 4 years of a guy's career if you do sign him to that contract. So, yeah, I think you have to if he does get that type of offer.
Trey, match or dispatch with John Collins in Atlanta?
Oh, I've been screaming match since day one when the first things fell through. They have to stick together. They're going to take such a step back by not keeping him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think because they had that playoff success, it's at this point they're backed into a corner, and they just absolutely have to.
And I think they also felt like Gallinari was going to, like, come in and supplant him in some ways, and that never happened.
Right, right, absolutely.
And Gallo was, like, a little slower, maybe a little chunkier, and then Collins just had the best year of his career in a new role. Yeah, Collins. I mean, salute to Collins, man. He never really complained about any of it, at least publicly.
Right.
And they never believed in him, and he just kind of made people believe in him.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he, like, the whole bet on yourself thing, it worked out for him. And then last one before we go, match or dispatch. Jay, your boy, Duncan Robinson in Miami.
Yeah, match. Match. Because here's the thing. Shooters, like, you just need them and they're so valuable. And if you have a great team, especially, which is what Miami is trying to build, they're always in the market for a star, and they're always going to be looking for someone to put next to Jimmy, for someone to put next to Bam. Shooters in those situations are supremely valuable. And especially one like Duncan Robinson.
What if he's getting, like, Joe Harris money?
Who's it? Yeah. Yeah.
I could look not, at, look I at how, could not disagree more.
Look how valuable Joe Harris was. You may not have agreed, but he was. I mean, obviously those other guys are great, but
you Harris, don't have KD and Kyrie. You don't have James Harden.
He unlocked so much for them, but Duncan Robinson unlocks so much for Jimmy. He unlocks so much for Bam. If they get Kyle Lowry, he'll unlock so much for him. I just think shooters are so valuable, and he has holes. But to me, he's a better shooter even than Joe Harris.
Maybe, but here's the thing is like we talked about with Toronto, Miami, your whole thing is we can find guys and build them up.
But you can't find, like, Duncan Robinson is rare. How many guys of his shooting caliber are there in the league? Very few.
Right. But they also, like, they played that game of, like, oh, we got to keep Tyler Johnson. We got to keep Deion Waiters. We got to keep Hassan Whiteside. We built these guys. Like, and how'd that turn out? I think you got to let him go.
Trey, but Hassan Whiteside or Tyler. Like, he's legitimately one of the three best shooters in the league.
Yeah. Four? But you can't find another dude to build up like that?
No. How many guys like that? Honestly, Max how many Struce? Guys in the league
Max
are better?
Max Struce can't be that guy?
Hey, you know what? I mean, a few years ago, if you had told me Duncan Robinson would be the top five shooter of the league, I'd be like, who the hell is Duncan Robinson?
Right,
actually,
exactly.
I knew who he was because he was a New England prep school guy and played at Williams College and all that. But I would have thought there's no chance in hell. But, I mean, that doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. He's the rare case. I don't know. Maybe I'm a sucker for shooters, but I just think he's super important. He was super important on the team that went to the finals.
Yeah.
And he, that year, like, they were obviously built on Jimmy and Bam, but they were also built on not just the shooting, but the movement and the attention mm-hmm. he drew.
Yeah, for sure. Trey, would you match or dispatch Duncan Robinson if you're the Heat?
Match. Can't let that shooter go.
Even though he's admitted that he worries he has imposter syndrome.
Not anymore.
I mean, at this point, I think that's cap. I think he's got confidence. I think he's walking around with an NBA player. He's probably ignoring fans and shoving them like LeBron now at this point. You know,
I think we're about
that's a swaggy preppy white boy.
If Tyler Hero appears with Jack Harlow one more time, he is forever gonna be 1-4 on this podcast and not his name.
They need to ship his ass.
He's gotta go,
somewhere.
Man. I don't think they even want him there. I don't think Jimmy wants him there anymore. Like, I think his time is up if they can get rid of him.
He gotta go to like Utah.
You guys are all the way out on Hero just like that.
No, I'm not out on him, but he's just distracted.
He can't be good there. Not in that city. I'm with you. He needs to go like Sacramento or Utah or so. He needs to go to not a destination.
I think he'd crack a sack. If he played in he'd be cool in sack. He would crack in sack. For sure.
He'd be whacking sack.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast
like
Network.
Shaq and Sack.
Make sure, owner Shaq and Sack. That's what he would be. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic for all your free agency news and analysis. Make sure you are subscribed to The Athletic because it's the best sports coverage out there. Give 5-star reviews to all the podcasts and make sure you're checking out all the podcasts, including all the team-specific shows, No Dunks, everything we got here at The Athletic. For Trevon Edwards, for Jay King, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked in on The Athletic.